Good morning, I'm Heather, one of the lay ministers in this church, and it's great to be talking to you this morning, whether you're here in church or watching online. So as we've just heard from Andy, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Everyone stood up, everyone listened attentively, and Jeshua, Barney, Sherebiah, Jamin, and all the others helped the people understand, and then everybody cried. So in the interests of authenticity, maybe I should ask you all to stand. I should get Andy to come back to continue reading the Bible for about 6 hours, and I'd get Becky and find some people with very unpronounceable names to wander around and explain to you just what you were hearing. And I guess that way before 5 o'clock, anyone who was watching online would have switched off. Most people in the church would have found a good reason to rush home. And anyone who was still left would be weeping. So what was going on in Jerusalem that morning 2,500 years ago? And what can we learn from it? Obviously, we've already learnt that our stamina and attention spans have declined a lot over that period. Apparently these days our average attention span is about 8 seconds and less than a goldfish's. Although that's an urban myth, because apparently goldfish have good attention spans. And we've all got bad backs or dodgy knees, and so standing for that time wouldn't work, and we can get down on the ground, but whether we can get up again, if for those of us who are over 50, I'm not quite sure. So over the past few months, we've been following the book of Nehemiah, that story of return from exile and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem led by Nehemiah. And as we heard from Becky last week, part of that work is complete. As she said, and a rather more famous British Prime Minister once said, that was the end of the beginning. The rebuilding of the community had yet to happen. And today we're reading about the beginnings of that rebuilding of the worshipping community in Jerusalem as they celebrate the culmination of the physical restoration. And it begins with a gathering. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. Now that location is significant. They don't gather in the temple, where many would have been excluded. Instead, the inclusive nature of this gathering is emphasized. Men, women, and children were gathered together in what was effectively a church without walls. And the people tell Ezra to bring out the scroll of the law. Ezra was a priest and scribe who, like Nehemiah, had returned from exile, and his role was very much around rebuilding the community, teaching the word of God. And the law of Moses that's on this scroll that he brings out is probably the Torah, the first 5 books of our Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And what's interesting is that Ezra didn't summon the people to come and listen to him. Instead, they summoned him. It's a big moment for them. The Torah is publicly reintroduced to the community. They're gathered together in their holy city of Jerusalem. And it's a real return to what always should have been. They're hungry to hear the word of God. Ezra stands on a high platform, opens the scroll and praises God. And the response from the crowd is fervent and physical. They lift up their hands saying, "Amen, amen." They bow their heads in worship. Their faces are turned to the ground. And Ezra doesn't just read the words to them. There's a concerted attempt to ensure that everyone who's there understands what's being read. When Alex talked to us about our vision a couple of weeks ago, he talked about the need to engage head, heart, and hands. And here we see how people's heads were engaged. They were listening attentively to the word, and they were growing in understanding as people explained it to them. but their hearts were also hugely moved. We see it in their physical responses, standing up, raising their arms, bowing their heads, shouting, "Amen, amen." And we also see it in their tears. We don't know why the people wept. Maybe they're overcome by the word of God, or by guilt or shame, or maybe it's a whole mix of emotions, a sort of collective regret for the turning away from God that had led to the destruction of Jerusalem, that had led to those long years in exile, or sadness and grief for those who never made it back home. But the response of Nehemiah and Ezra and the priests to their tears is perhaps not what we would expect. We might expect them to encourage more lamentation, more confession, more soul searching. Instead, they tell everyone to stop crying and go and party. As we read in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. If you read on or come back next week, you'll discover that chapter 9 of Nehemiah is the time for sackcloth and ashes. But chapter 8, which Andy read to us today, is the time for laughing and dancing. So all the people go away to eat and drink and celebrate with great joy. The physical rebuilding of Jerusalem after its destruction has finally been achieved, and the temple's been restored, though not to its former glory. And the walls have been rebuilt thanks to Nehemiah and the whole community. And together they're rebuilding their community. They're rebuilding their worship of God. And the celebration that we heard today extends over several weeks. It's apparently the longest celebration ever described in the Bible. And clearly those Israelites had as much stamina and enthusiasm for celebrating God's goodness as they had for listening to his word. So what do we learn from all of this? Our vision, as Alex outlined a few weeks ago, can be summed up as gather, grow, and go. And I was really struck by how much gathering is going on in this passage. Everyone gathered into the square. Everyone, men, women, and children. They gather to worship, to hear the word of God. And then they gather to celebrate and feast together. And in their gathering, they grow. They hear the word of God. They hear the explanations about the word of God. For 6 hours, they listen, learn, and grow. And gathering together to worship, to hear the word of God, and respond to it is a core part of being a Christian, and always has been. We gather together for worship on a Sunday, for small groups during the week. And over the past 20 weeks, that gathering has had to be virtual, for part of the time for some of us, and all the time for others. But some of us have got out of the habit of gathering. We might argue that we can manage perfectly well without gathering. So what's the point of going to church or listening to the live stream? Bibles are readily accessible, and there's lots of great stuff online. You could argue that in Nehemiah's time, nobody had that choice. Most people couldn't read, and anyway, there were no books, just a few precious hand-copied scrolls. The only way to hear the word was to gather, where someone would read and explain the word of God. And that's actually the case for most of the history of the Christian church, until the invention of the printing press. And at that point in the 15th century, only around 5% of adults could read. So for most people, for most of our history as a Christian church, hearing and learning about the word of God has been a shared experience, a community gathering. And whether literate or not, being a Christian has always been about being part of a gathering, part of a family, part of the body of Christ. In today's reading, it seems the Israelites gathered because they were eager to hear the word of God. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, according to an old saying. And maybe in exile, and during the long years of rebuilding, they'd been deprived of hearing the word of God. So they were so hungry for it. Maybe for us, the opposite is true. The word of God is very readily accessible to us, not just in the Bible, but on our phones, on our laptops, on our tablets. We can find a particular verse within seconds. So to use another old saying, does familiarity breed contempt? Do we weep when we hear God's word? Or do we yawn? It's an interesting reflection on our particular church tradition that we actually devote very little time in our services to listening to the word of God from the Bible. We have one reading, and if it's too long, we get twitchy. I have to confess, I cut today's reading down by at least 6 verses. So have we as a church decided that hearing too much from the Bible is a bit dull? In other Christian traditions, the service might include a psalm, readings from the Old Testament and from the New. And those congregations will hear far more of the Bible read to them than we might do. Or other traditions will show more symbols and signs of outward reverence towards God's word, standing up for the gospel reading, for example. It's not that one way is right and one is wrong, but maybe as we note their hunger and reverence for the word back in Jerusalem all those years ago, we could reflect a little on our attitude to the word of God. But back to gathering. The people of the rebuilt city didn't just gather to hear the word of God. They gathered to celebrate, to party. Just as we may have lost that hunger for God's word, have we lost our joy for it? Being together for fun is how we build fellowship, build relationships, celebrate the joy of God's love for one another. For the joy of the Lord is your strength, as Nehemiah put it. Now, I come from a very large family, which is quite unusual these days. I have one brother and 4 sisters. And these days, we live very different lives in very different places. But whenever possible, we, siblings, partners, children, children's partners, and now children's children, gather together to celebrate. Any excuse, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas. We sit around ever more crowded tables. We eat far too much good food. We probably drink a bit too much. Chaos reigns, and there are mountains of washing up. But our kids have grown up to know and to love their cousins, uncles, aunts, and grandparents. We share the same memories. We remember Uncle Andrew's bad jokes or the taste of Grandma's shortbread. And those bonds just wouldn't be there if we hadn't celebrated together, if we hadn't had fun together. So as a church family, let's learn from Nehemiah and Ezra and gather together when we can to celebrate the joy of the Lord, whether it's gig and chips or a small group social or the church barbecue. Let's rediscover the fun and joy of being together. Now, as you've probably noticed, Alex, our vicar, loves to capture key messages in 3 words, and they always have to begin with the same letter. Hence, we have gather, grow, and go. And in doing that, we have to use our head, heart, and hands. And today's passage was very much about gathering and growing, very much about head and heart. But I think it's important that we just note that as they prepare to celebrate, the Israelites are reminded to send some of their food and drink to those who have nothing, thus enabling God's love to overflow into the wider community. Just as in the go part of our mission action plan, as Alex said, using our hands to serve others. But to sum up all of this, I think verse 12 says it all. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So let's all try and gather more, whether that's online, in person. And together, let's hear the word of God and grow not only in understanding, but also in reverence and in joy. And when it's safe, let's gather when we can to eat, drink, and be merry. Amen.